A federal appeals court ruled last week in the strange case of a motorist, a cooler full of cash, and the scent of narcotics. Emiliano Gomez Gonzalez of California was driving a rented car in Nebraska when state troopers stopped him for speeding. A trooper asked to search the car and found, inside a cooler on the back seat, bundles of cash totaling $124,700, which the troopers seized. This was in May 2003. Mr. Gonzalez has not been charged with any offense, but a drug-sniffing dog named Rico picked up the scent of drugs on the money and on the rental car. And the long and the short of it is this. Mr. Gonzalez is a free man, but he's out $124,700. The troopers seized the cash, and the appeals court ruled that they had the right to do so. Roger Goldman is a professor of constitutional law and criminal procedure at St. Louis University Law School. Professor Goldman, do I have this right that if I'm carrying a ton of cash in my rental car and some dog smells cocaine, the government can just seize the money even if I'm not charged with any drug offense?
Well, the government has to be able to prove that the money that you have in that car is substantially connected to a drug offense. And in this case, the appeals court found that they did.
Now, there's something about this case that strikes a layman like me as surreal. The case on appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit was called United States of America versus $124,700 in U.S. currency. The money was the defendant in this case.
Yes. In these civil forfeiture cases, the defendants can be money. They can be a 1965 Chevrolet. They can be a boat. It's not a criminal prosecution against the defendant. This is actually against the property that was used somehow in an illegal enterprise.
Kind of hard to defend yourself, though, if you're a pile of cash.
Well, of course, the claimants here, Gonzalez and his friends, were the ones who defended themselves in this case.
Yeah, Mr. Gonzalez had an explanation for the cash that was, as he told it, harmless. He said that he and some friends wanted to buy a truck in Chicago, so he rounded up a lot of cash, and he'd heard it was dangerous to travel with lots of cash, so he hid the cash in the cooler. He did lie to troopers, evidently.
Right. He said he hadn't been arrested, but he said he was scared. But again, the trial judge found the other way, and the Court of Appeals basically reviewed what they called de novo, just because they felt they didn't really there were no credibility decisions below.
Now, there's at least a lot of folk wisdom to the effect that a tremendous amount of money will show traces of drugs on it, and rental cars can be used by any number of people.
And that was exactly the major point of the dissenting judge in this case. And actually, Justice Souter, in a case, had once made the same point.
Is the import of this ruling that we simply consider it suspicious for anybody to carry around a lot of cash?
Well, especially if there's, again, this connection to drugs. Cash alone won't do it. But to the extent that all cash has traces of drugs, then you're right.
And connection to drugs is determined here by Rico the dog.
By Rico the dog, but again, there were some other suspicious circumstances. Because the Court of Appeals themselves actually admitted that there was really no expert testimony on, did the dog really find that these folks' money had been involved, or is it a trace? They kind of poo-pooed Rico's activities in this case, as a matter of fact.
If one of our listeners is thinking of driving cross, because one of our listeners who doesn't deal drugs is thinking of driving cross-country with thousands of dollars in cash, what would be the best advice?
Well, you better get new bills and try something other than a cooler.
Well, Professor Goldman, thank you very much for
thank
talking
you.
With us. It's Professor Roger Goldman, law professor at St. Louis University, talking about the case of the United States versus $124,700 in U.S. currency. Last week, at the appellate level, the money lost.